final shiur. I don't know what's happening after Pesach, and I'll let you know if I do go to England. You'll find out via a note that I'll put up. Do me a favor, Yitzchak. Take Morty's phone number and call him. I'll after Pesach, or email him and let him know what's happening. Okay, so I'll tell Rav Bednarz to send out an email to Gemara. Okay, today is Monday, March 26, 2012. It's our last year before Pesach. There's Rav Hashem. And I just want to read to you, I received an email from America, from a Talmud of mine, via the website, Steve Wagner, wonderful person, his wife. His wife happens to be Rabbi Belkin's granddaughter. So first of all, for your information, he's sponsoring a lecture in memory of Rav Shmuel Belkin. It's Thursday, March 29th at the YU. The lecture is being given by Rav Heschel Schechter, Innovation and Halacha, Machine versus Hand Shmura Matzah. And that is a very fascinating topic, and if you get hold of the volume that came out on Rav Yashiv HaShaktan, you'll see that Rav Yashiv, at least in the early stages of his public life, only ate machine matzah on Pesach for the exact reason the Rav did, because Halacha L'maisa, there's much less chash of chametz by machine matzah. But anyway, he picked up on one of our shayurim where I spoke about how everyone is called Harav HaGon today, Harav HaGon, how is that a Brit Mila, and one of the Rabbonim HaGonim couldn't even read the bracha properly, couldn't pronounce Hebrew properly. So he writes, by the way, I can't resist a short comment on the last year I heard from you discussing the honorifics given to just about everybody today. At the last wedding I was at, each person called up for a bracha was introduced as Harav HaGon. A rab standing next to me said that he understands now why everyone is Harav HaGon. He said, with the advent of Daf Yomi, there have not been so many rabbis learning Gemara without Rashi since the time of the Gaonim. So that I will tell you, is a very, very interesting, insightful comment. Okay, now we're coming in. It's, again, a very heavyweight shiur, and I'm a little bit upset with myself because all these shiurim may lead you to conclude that, you know, we have to take on the Charedim point blank and deal with them. So I will, at the end, when I finish Das Torah, I will give a few lectures on an attitude towards Charedim and how we should act and interact and follow up Das Torah with something that Halacha L'maisa obligates us. But we'll get there in time. Last week we spoke about, so what's wrong with Das Torah? And I quoted to you, of course, the Rev, I quoted Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, I quoted Rav Chaim Briska, I quoted Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and time and again it all came down to the fact that as Lithuanians we glorify ourselves in our ability to think, our ability to act, our ability to make decisions. We believe that the Torah was given to an intelligent people, Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael are not robots, uvachata b'chayim, and all of life is filled with decisions. Of course, this will reflect in the Rav's attitude, and why there's so much different interpretation of the Rav, and the source I gave you last week is extremely important, how when the Rav took a different stand than the general Mizrahi policy, the leaders of Mizrahi were sending telegrams to America, worried stiff the Rav was going back to being an agudist. And they had trouble understanding how one could be a Mizrahiite but have one's own opinion and not march along with the crowd. And those letters that are produced in the volume I quoted to you last week from Shlomo Zalman Shragai, from the Rav Shlomo Zalman, who had been mayor of Yerushalayim, very fascinating letters. And you have to know the background to really appreciate them. But the best example I can give you is Mihu Yehudi, where the Rav did not agree with the compromise, with the Helen Zeidman case, the conversion of the woman who would later marry a Kohen, and the Rav did not agree with the Mizrahi leaders. And this was the Rav, an independent thinker. When you have Das Torah, everyone marches to one tune. There's no independent thought, and no one said it better than Rav Chaim Brisker when he spoke about the fact that electricity is great, but kerosene lamps were better. Why? Because kerosene lamps, if yours went out, your neighbor had light. But with electricity, if it goes out, it goes out all over. And if rabbis make a mistake and you have Das Torah, then of course we have the tremendous problem that electricity goes out all over. Now, I also mentioned, and I ended off the shiur quoting Ish Mipiyish, which becomes a questionable quote today, but Rav Heschel Schachter, quoting Rav Menachem Gener, quoting the Rav, and that I happen to know this quote is correct, because I know other private conversation where the Rav expressed himself on Das Torah, which I don't want to quote, because it was very, very sharp. And the Rav said he grew up in Europe. He grew up, I would say, in a frum environment, to put it mildly. His father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. His grandfather on his father's side was Rav Chaim. His grandfather on his mother's side was Rav Elia Pruzhana. His mother's first cousin was Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said in Europe he never heard the word Das Torah. Period. And of course, I had shown you weeks ago that the one place in Shas where the word is mentioned is in relation to the Gid Hanasha, and it means, is it a strong tradition or is it only a weak tradition? It has nothing to do with Das Torah in the sense we use it today. And now let me go further. And now, another proof to what the Rav said. A wonderful volume came out about 2 years ago. I actually quoted in Washington. I translated what I wanted into English. A volume came out on Rav Yehuda Amital. It was written by a Talmud of his, Eliashiv Reichner, who writes quite a bit, if I'm not mistaken. I've seen other articles of his, and he did a beautiful volume on his Rebbe, Be'emunato. Sipuro Shel Harav Yehuda Amital. There may be an English, am I right that there's an English translation, or they're working on an English translation? There is an English translation, because I think I read something about it. So on page 23, and it's a very fine, reliable volume, I'm told, I don't know, although I did speak with this Yashiv over the phone once, I'm told, if you want to know how good the volume is, he is a right-winger politically. He's like Rakefet and Rubin. And he writes about Rav Yehuda Amital as Rebbe and presents Rav Amital's position very honestly, very clearly. And as you know, Rav Amital was a big messianic right-winger, and the Yom Kippur War and the Baron Lichtenstein turned him around into a bit of a dove, I'll put it that way. And nevertheless, he does a very beautiful job portraying his Rebbe's point of view. So on page 23 in the Hebrew version, Hebrew edition, the original edition, he quotes Rav Amital, "B'mokom shenolatati, where I was born, and I lived there until I was 8, I never heard the words Das Torah." He says, when we had a halachic question, we asked the Rav, and yes, once in a while the Rav would scream and shout and yell when there was an ethical shortcoming. And I need not tell you that this is a rabbi's job, this is a challenge to a rabbi, and today it's very frightening, because the ethical shortcomings are so tangible. At times, it's absolutely shocking, the money crimes, the sexual crimes in our world, in the Torah world. I don't know. It's a different world. When I grew up, and I don't agree with you. Students always say to me, Rebbe, they swept it under the carpet. I know. I saw Rebbeim. I saw Gedolei Yisrael. Nothing was swept under the carpet. There was nothing to sweep under the carpet. Who ever heard of frum Jews molesting children? A Jew in Jerusalem just was sentenced, 9.5 years in jail yesterday, molesting. Let me not even meld the words. It hurts me. So a rabbi, if this happens, a rav has to scream, has to shout, has to yell. People who are in public positions and rob money, all I can tell you is Yisrael Hayom in their Friday issue had an article on Derry and Rabin. If one-tenth of that article is true, we have to rip kriya. People who are thieves and crooks and chamsamut and extortion, and they become leaders of the so-called religious world. If one-tenth of the article is true, right, it's frightening. So, of course, a rabbi has to yell. But the concept that everything that a community has to decide is done on rabbinic decision, there was nothing like that. Lo haya kadavar zeh. Zehi tofa'a chadasha. It's something new. It never happened before. And so you have a litvish gadol and a rungarish gadol, and both of them are saying the same thing. That before World War II, before they came to America, before they came to Israel, before the modern world, they never heard the words Das Teira. And I can tell you, as one who learned in Volozhin in the 1800s, I never heard the word Das Teira in Volozhin. As a matter of fact, the greatest students all differed on many basic issues. I need not tell you that the greatest leaders of Mizrahi and the greatest leaders of Agudat Yisrael and Lo Aleinu, the greatest maskilim who are no longer from, all came out of Volozhin, period. And it's unbelievable. Out of one yeshiva, you take Rav Kook, you take Rav Reines, you think Talmudical Academy, Rav Kefet is going to give lectures next year, Be'ezrat Hashem, on the history of Torah in the United States. I decided to go for broke. And unfortunately, God should keep me in health, but when you bury your friends one after another, you start to worry all that you know, and you're the last one who knows some of these things. Don't let it be lost. Record it. I'll talk about Talmudical Academy. We'll be very proud the day that TA began. Know what day the TA began, Talmudical Academy. January 1940. 16, I think I have the exact date, January 3rd, I think it was. Next year I'll have it in front of me, I'll give you the exact date. You think it was the first TA? Torah Vedat in Lida was the first yeshiva high school that we have in modern times. There, where did Rav Reines come from? No, where did he come from? Volozhin. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman was so opposed to secular study, general studies, that you all know the document that is quoted in the Suva era, and no one has ever challenged the author. Where did you get that document? Because the author has a Xerox copy of the original in Rabbi Elchanan's handwriting, which circulates. Later today or next week, I'll quote a document that the family has not allowed out, but I am one of the few who saw it. And no one has ever challenged me. And Rabbi Elchanan writes to a kid in Europe who has a chance to save his life from Hitler to go to YU, and he says, better to stay in Europe than to go to Yeshiva Sabjitsko Khanan and be spiritually slaughtered. Right or wrong, it's a well-known document. I translate it into English. And where did the Khanan learn? New Daniel? In Volozhin. So you see, to say that there was Das Teira didn't exist. This is a concept post-World War II. A student of mine, one of my greatest finds ever, I have a student I'm very thankful to him. His name is Aryeh Lieberman. He picked me up maybe 15 years ago. Chabadnik, big Talmud Chacham, terrific mind. And he's done wonderful, wonderful things for us. Talking about we who want to perpetuate the memory of the Rav Moriah Rebbe. And so Aryeh, he sent me, you have no idea, I heard the shroom this year when I dealt with the three shvuot, with the Sakma Rebbe. He sent me a kuntres of Rabbi Yoel Kohn, that's the Lubavitcher Rebbe's choyzer. He was the one, I told you on Shabbos, the Rebbe would speak at every Fabrengen. And after Shabbos, he would repeat it word by word by word, and they would write down everything that you have is written down after Shabbos. From Rabbi Yoel Kohn. He's a Gaon Adir. What a photographic memory. He would smile when the Rebbe smiled, and he would be serious when the Rebbe gave a grimace. It's beyond words. So he sent me a quintress. What he write, I don't have time to do it now, but with the bells of Rebbe and Eretz Yisrael and 1950s and how they accepted the immigrants, the survivors from Europe, the schut that Medina Yisrael has. Again, what a quintress. Wow. Anyway, sent me the following story. And this is written by Gedolei Yeshivat Meir. I recall one year at his house in Pesach, a well-respected senior Rosh Yeshiva was recounting his miraculous escape from Europe with the Meir Yeshiva. He was speaking about the fact that the Rosh Yeshiva of the Meir were against the plan to escape via the Soviet Union. They felt that it was just too dangerous. However, the Bachurim thought that it was their only hope and decided to implement it anyway. And of course, what it's referring to, which we've referred to many times, and we'll come back to it again, the greatest problem that Das Torah has, and if you raise this issue, if you went to Beisach, or if you went to Chinuch Atzmai, or you went to some narrow-minded school, the Rebbe will smack your face. You don't ask questions like that. There isn't, because you all know that we are only sitting here in this room at this moment in time because of Sempo Sugihara, Zeita Tzadik Levracha. I would not be sitting here, there'd be no Shia, my grandson would not be sitting here, you would not be sitting here. All right, that's a fact, an absolute fact. You don't believe me? Read, study, Washington to Washington. Okay, Sempo Sugihara, you ask Rav Chaim Oizer, you ask the Rashi Yeshiva, God forbid, stay put, shave the Altasa. They all would have been killed by Hitler. And the entire Meir Yeshiva was saved because some Bachrim took the initiative, a miracle happened, and against all odds, they get to Japan, get to Shanghai, get to the United States, get to America, and the rest is worth a movie of the resurgence of Torah. Meir Yeshiva Yerushalayim. How many students? 5,000, 6,000. What's going on today? Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. All because of Sempo Sugihara. So when the Rosh Yeshiva got to this point in the story, someone who was there, Pesach, was listening, exclaimed, but how could they do that? Isn't it against Das Torah? The Rosh Yeshiva answered, quote, this was before Das Torah was invented, end quote. Doesn't give the name. And the audience broke out in laughter. One must keep in mind that these Bachurim included people such as Reb Leib Malin, Reb Chaim Vesucker, who later became known as the Altamirers. They were going them in their own right. It is not as if they were young children. And gentlemen, this is absolutely correct. There was no Das Torah, there was no such concept, no one knew what to do. So you asked the Primoiser, you asked this one, you asked that one, and they acted. And they acted, and you all know the results. Those who took the visa are alive. And those who didn't, and you all know what happened. I spoke about this when I dealt with the international dateline. There were some of the Bachurim and Mir who were very frum. And sometimes when you're very frum, it's not so good. And what happened was the famous story that they were worried stiff about leaving before Yom Kippur because according to the Chazon Ish, if they would reach Japan, they would have to observe 2 days Yom Kippur. Would it be a big shaila? He went, they paskined against the dateline, as everyone else paskined, and you're crossing the dateline, etc., etc. I can't go into detail now. And these Bachurim didn't leave. They stayed behind. They said, we'll go after Sukkot. No, you all know what happened. After Sukkot, the Nazis already conquered. There was no way to get out. And they became part of the 6 million, Hashem Yirachem. So it's a very insightful comment. And I say to Aryeh Liebman, who may be listening, who will listen, if you get any more details, because you sent this to me, we'd love to know the name, who told the following story. You say, someone sent me the following story. Who was the Rosh Yeshiva who was challenged and gave that answer was before Das Torah was invented. Okay. Believe it or not, I ask Aryeh, why isn't it published? and it's not available. I don't know how he put it together, but he said it has not been published. It was Shayurim that Rabbi Yoel gave in Lubavitch at the time when Satma was fighting very heavily with Lubavitch and Belz on the fact that Lubavitch was so close to the state and Zionism, and Belz made the big switch under the new Rebbe from being anti-Agudat Yisrael to becoming part of Agudat Yisrael, which in the eyes of Satma is even worse than being a Mizrachist. You follow? Okay. Yeah, hold on. Let me make one more point. Okay, ask right now, because I mean, they understood the answer. It's a sharp say that this is far das Torah. It's you ever learn in Mir, you know Litvish, you know the Litvish mentality? That's what it means. Okay? They were cynical, put it that way, use that word. Okay? And that's sinim, be a vitna do beret. And finally, if you want to see how far we have gone and where is Yosef Chaim? Oh my gosh. The door, I cannot believe it. Gentlemen, I will ask for Mashiach. Yosef Chaim, you just saved your soul by walking in at this minute because the Rebbe was ready to pull the Pusa Denura on you that he's about to teach something and you're not here to hear it. After you invented a new bracha, Shalom Asani, you should have been here yesterday in the Shia. I described how to deal with the rush, and you can't deal with the rush without describing Yosef Chaim buying his Pesach order in Rami Levi. I have to tell you, I hope the world enjoys that description. But those who heard yesterday's Shia will hear it. You got to see Yosef Chaim. His smile is angelic. It is contagious. I've never had a student in the last 53 years who is so beloved by everybody, and it's that smile that does it. Even Michael is picking up the smile from him. Gentlemen, in the state of Israel today, you have a tremendous earthquake in the Sephardic world. Without going into great detail, but I will touch upon it very slightly, the story of the Sephardic world, of course, books now are being written, reminiscences, but I lived it. It's very simple. The Sephardim came here, it wasn't just that they're coming penniless. The DPs came penniless as well. But the DPs were coming from a Western culture. You have to remember that Germany was the hotbed of Western culture in the 20s into the early 30s. France is a cultured country. Belgium, a cultured country. Certainly, Poland and Hungary and Russia lacked behind them, particularly Russia. But all these countries were on a more modern level than where the Sephardim were coming from. So the Sephardim had a dual problem. It wasn't only a problem of poverty, but it was a problem of not being as cultured as Labriot, as the Israeli scene was. Now, and on the Israeli scene, you have to understand the government here, the Mapainiks, went with the viewpoint that they were entrusted to take the Sephardim, educate them, bring them into the Western world, bring them into the state of Israel, and bring them into the Mapai thinking. And all of you know the stories, which are not legends, but actually happened. People would come in, take these children, take these families. Sheikhtim would come in from Shomatzir Kibbutzim, hit the chicken over the head with a hammer, and tell them, in this country, we don't do Shchita anymore, we don't need Shchita. Kids that had payers, you take the Yemenites, and you know I've said it 1,000 times over, when I see a Talmud of mine with payers, I don't get overly impressed. All right, you have payers, fine, I also have payers. You have payers behind your ear, fine, that's good, wonderful. But don't make me, don't think you're going to convince me to have payers behind my ear. All right, I go like my Rebbe went, like this, say that. When I see a Yemenite with payers, I don't sleep that night because the Yemenites, Taka, had a tradition that was they were almost unaffected by outside culture. And if the Yemenites went with payas, that's a sign that the Jews originally went with real payas, not a bidyevit payas, I'll call it, but a lachatchila payas. And you all know they took these Yemenite kids and they cut off the payas. So the Sfardim went through a very difficult period here of acculturation. And then you come to the 1970s, where Sfardim already are more integrated, where Sfardim already are not impoverished. You have Sfardic multimillionaires. Most of the builders in Israel are from Sfardic families, Kaduri, Levi, etc. And you have this tremendous rebirth under Rav Ovadia of Sfardic pride. Now, Rav Ovadia, you know, I don't have to tell you, there's no one alive on his level in learning. And that's period, what the man knows. He's not a Litvish, he's not a Briska, he's not a Telsha, but what the man knows, if there ever was a Sinai in the last 500 years, it's Rav Ovadia Yosef. And for whatever the reasons are, very beholden to the Litvish world. Much has been written about this. Why does Rav Ovadia feel he must have the approval of Rav Shach and afterwards Rav Yashiv today? Why does he have these feelings? Stand on your own 2 feet and do what you wish to do. But many theories are given about it. That's not important now, but these are the facts. Rav Ovadia, with the bracha of Rav Shach, created Shas, and Shas over the years has become the most important political party in the country. For the last 20 years, Shas holds the balance of power in the country. And this is a reality. Do I like it? Absolutely not. Am I frightened by it? Absolutely. Have they done terrible things against Torah Hashem? Absolutely. I still don't sleep at night when I think back to 1992 and they made Shulamit Aloni the Minister of Education of the State of Israel. It's enough to take away the breath of anyone who loves Torah. But this is a perverted mentality, whatever the reasons are. But they are a power. Why Rav Ovadia and his people have gone along not to serve in the army? Not to serve in the army. It's against an open Gemara. It's a reformed Jew doesn't serve in the army. Mechalalei Shabbos should be kicked out of the army. If you believe in Torah Hashem, I'm holding a demonstration Saturday night in the center of Tel Aviv. Anyone who speaks between Tfilin Shalyat to Tfilin Shalrosh, anyone who speaks between Yishtabach to Yotzer'ah, out of the army. Alach et kam avakam, anyone who's Mechalel Shabbos or eats in Herzliya, I don't even want to use the word seafood, etc. No, am I right or wrong? Morty, am I talking Shas and Paiskim or am I talking Narishkeit? Tell the class. Baruch Hashem. A professor agrees with me. Yosef Chaim, that's not the only problem. The core curriculum? How can you not teach your children the core curriculum? An open Gemara, Chavtet, Bamed Aleph, Dushin, Hav Chayavlan, Eglubino, Umanut. If you don't have computer English, if you don't have mathematics, a kid walks around. He asks the God have mercy. You see young kids asking for handouts. It's terrible to see a sight like that. It's against the whole Torah, against Meluah Torah, the Kipshul, against Kavod Adam, Meluah Chavidad. You don't have to be a Talmud of the Rav, but Alach Kamakama, Talmud of the Rav, what it means. Daniel, I want you to be the greatest medical doctor alive. You understand what I'm saying? Meluah Torah, the Kipshulcha. You took off a year to learn, I'm proud of you, but when you go back to medicine, you know what I told the story with my brother. My brother followed me. He was Reb Heschel Shechlis Gavrut of 8 years, okay? So Reb David Lifshitz used to talk to my brother, be like your older brother, go into chinuch, be a rav, be this, be that. The day that my brother told Reb David, and my brother never graduated college, it was the story with Einstein. Einstein was a new medical school, and they wanted to get top students. So they announced it's the mid-50s or late-50s. Anyone who is a junior in college with an average of 3.8 or something, you don't have to have a fourth year of college. We will take you into Albert Einstein. That year, they got every bright kid on the Eastern Seaboard. Harvard, Yale, they all had to change the quotas, all disappeared, because every bright Jewish kid wound up in Einstein. The day that my brother tells Reb David, Rebbe, I was accepted into Einstein, Reb David takes, you know the way, you know Reb David, like Rabbi Levine, takes with two hands, he holds my brother, and he says to my brother, yeah, he says it in Yiddish, I'll say it in English, says to my brother, until now you are learning Shas and Paiskim. All right, if you made a mistake, it's not the end of the world, he says. But now that you're studying medicine, he says, you gotta study very diligently because we don't want doctors to make mistakes. Quote, end quote. That's so ripped up. No, you don't teach a kid English. You don't quote. How can it be? So in Shas, one of their Chavrei Knesset, Rechayim Amsalim, a man with a broad vision, a first-rate Talmud Chacham, he broke away from Shas right now. And all of you know, I have to be honest with you and tell you, some of his strongest backing is from graduates of this kollel. He has a tremendous amount of the Anglos who are backing him, and he already talks like Rakefet. Shas and Poskim and Medinat Yisrael and army and core curriculum. And then there's an interview with him. Rabbi Amsalem lambasted the notion of Das Torah, saying it is an invention of the last 100 years, brought to Israel by European Ashkenazim. Saying his personal Das Torah is the Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, Mishnayos, Rabbi Amsalem explained that while one should clearly seek Das Torah in issues of halacha and spirituality, the idea that every word that emanates from the mouth of a gadol is like the word of God is a blatant lie perpetuated by those who hope to control the masses. Rav Amsalem takes aim at rabbonim who rule on topics such as politics that they know nothing about. The rabbonim are surrounded by courts and don't listen to both sides. They listen only to one side, the side of the court. This goes against the Torah, which says, Shemoa ben Achecha, you should hear your fellow Jew. They are not hearing both sides. They bring their decision only upon hearing one side. It should not be done this way. This is not Das Torah. It's a fascinating interview. You can get much more. I'm quoting to you from Vassar's Knives, but that's Rav Amsalem. Tremendous rebellion, tremendous support in certain areas.
When was this interview?
This interview is what date on the interview? May 8th, 2011, less than a year ago. I can tell you the heartache. And I try to bridge the gap because I stand in awe of Rav Avadja. The fact that I can be critical, but I'm not chas v'chalila of his learning, of his knowledge, but I understand Rav Amsalem. Those around him pull Rav Avadja down. They feed him information. They give him one side of the coin. And for whatever the reasons, that fear that you must have Rav Yoshev on your side, you must have Rav Shach on your side, it is hard for me to comprehend. But I can tell you, B'didi Haviyuv, that happened to me less than a year ago. Last June, I was scholar in residence in the Los Angeles area. Fine, I was there Yom Yerushalayim. I was there Shavuot. The final week that I was in L.A., before I went to Seattle, I was scholar in residence in a Sfadik shul, a 3 to 4 minute walk from Rodeo Drive. Michael, do you understand what I'm saying, or you're such a provincial New Yorker that you don't know what Rodeo Drive is? It makes Bal Harbour Shopping Center in above Miami Beach look like child's play. And believe me, in Bal Harbour, a scarf, a little scarf, $400. It's on sale, $379. Rodeo Drive. All right. I speak in the shul, and it was a terrific experience. And I give the drasha, and I finish the drasha, Pashit Balotcha, and I'm mobbed. And three men are in tears. They hug me, kiss me. The Svadim don't even daven Musaf Shabbos. They just make a Hecha Kedusha with no Chazaras Hashatz. This is their minhag. It's unbelievable. The rabbi comes over to me and says to me, you should know these three men who kissed you and hugged you and in tears, they're worth, he would say, he makes a cheshbon. Between the three of them, it's probably $500 billion. And he tells me who each one was. And I have to tell you, these were people with Avat HaTorah. Multi billionaires, Avat HaTorah. Then they have a luncheon, and I give a talk. And in the talk, I mention Rav Ovadia and Rav Reuven Elbaz. And you should have heard the rabbi and some of the balabatim shout out maledictions. Oh my gosh. This shul is the biggest single monetary supporter of Rav Amsalem. And you see, they're caught in that quagmire. They work not to teach kids basic material, not to encourage Jewish boys to serve in the army, not to say the prayer for Medina Yisrael, to follow what the Ashkenazim lead them by the nose. And here you hear it, Das Teira, Rav Amsalan. Very fascinating. What'll be in the next elections? In the next elections, everyone asks me. So I know my standard answer. Gentlemen, some of you know I have a doctorate in Jewish history. It has destroyed my life because no one in the world believes that Aaron Rakefet knows one word of Shas and Peskin. You'll ask anyone what Rakefet does, he teaches Jewish history. I met Rababa Braunspiegel after being in Israel for 35 years, and Rababa thought I was teaching Jewish history at Bar Ilan University. No one knows about my Sunday class, but all right, what can I do? I'm finished. An idiot went and got a doctorate in Jewish history. Fine. Okay. It's hard enough to predict the past. I don't want to be a fool and try to predict the future. My only gut reaction is, if Derry doesn't run in the next election, then Amsalan stands a chance of being a power of some sorts. If Derry runs, we are all finished. Pshuto k'mashma'o. Gentlemen, and now let me share with you my own experiences with Das Teira and what I have seen with my own eyes. I don't have to quote anyone. I experienced it. It is absolutely frightening. Have you ever dealt with a Mashiach from Chabad? Did you ever try to debate with him, dialogue with him, discuss with him? Moshe, I have wrapped around with Mashiachs from Chabad. You know how far I got? Nowhere. Programmed. A robot. A cult. It is frightening. I write about in Washington how this kid helped me carry packages in New York City. Read it in context. And I said to him, come and hear a shir of mine. I'm giving shirim in Hillcrest this Shabbat. He said, oh, I wish I could, but I have to be near the Rebbe's grave. I want to be there in case he stands up on Shabbat. Quote, end quote. You can't deal with this. It's frightening, frightening. 2009, I was scholar in residence in a community in Staten Island, not the big shul, but a different, not Willowbrook, a different community, a smaller community. And there's a kollel, a litvish, a kollel, must be kids, balei tshuva, today everyone's learning a kollel, kids who can't even read a daf gemara properly, as we spoke about a half hour ago, 40 minutes ago, with what I quoted to you from why everyone is a rav hagon. All right, but at least they're learning gemara, late 20s, being supported. making up for poor background, whatever. I don't know, maybe they're Balei Tshuva. So a kid is very upset. A young man, I gave this talk and I'm proud of Israel. Why are you so proud of Israel? And this kid tells us, a 29-year-old youngster learning in a kollel. Supposedly, you learn in a kollel. When I heard a kid learns in a kollel, to be a kollel, you have to be a lamb, you have to be a Talmud Chacham. I know about kollel, and Reb Chaim Moshe had a kibbutz in Vilna. That was the kollel. All right. Kid says to him, what are you so proud of Israel? 3 million Jews eat tarfus on Yom Kippur because of the state of Israel. Quote, end quote. I said, are you serious? Where did you hear that? He said, what do you mean? Das Torah, my Rebbe told me. All I could say to the kid was, your Rebbe made a mistake. It's 5 million Jews who eat tarfus on Yom Kippur. What a sickness. And this kid really believed it. Really believe that these are sick people. 6 million Jews are in the state of Israel. Who would ever believe the overwhelming majority are religious or traditional? Every survey shows it today. Friday night I was at the Kotel. Ephraim, you were with me. We were blown away. It was a Golani group at the Kotel. I told my grandson I couldn't believe what I saw. Now I understand the problem with Golani. Everyone is religious. 100 soldiers, and I know groups at the Kotel. Every Friday night there's a group, there's tzaddikim, who bring over groups. It's arranged with the army. They put them up for Shabbos. They wine and dine them. And you see group after group after group after group, every group imaginable. 40% know how to daven. 20% try to daven. 40% wander around when they're davening. I take a look, the Golani group with the Golani berets, and all of them paratroop wings. I had to ask my grandson, explain it to me. He said, Son Khan, you've jumped 5 times to get your parachute. They told me, they jumped twice. They're an elite unit of Golani that can also be paratroopers if necessary. It's the elite infantry. Everyone knew how to daven. 100 guys, well, you should have seen the davening. Michael, you should have seen what went on at the Kotel. You should have seen the singing. And you should have heard the Golani group singing, Aliyat HaKotel, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And you should have seen the tears in Rakefet's eyes. Ashreinu Shezachinu Lisa. Idiot! 3 million Jews, fuck that. Can't even repeat it. Florida. One Pesach, I was in Florida. Devotees of mine took over a hotel. They were in the hotel business, and they asked me to be scholar in residence. They always had a rabbi there, was a chavre of mine. Nebuch, he died subsequently, but they were very nice. They had a rabbi and a scholar in residence. And because we know each other 60 years at the time, his father was the Talmud of Rabbi Baruch Ber Leibowitz, Rabbi Shmuel Slotnicka, Salnicka. I think he pronounced it he Americanized the name Salnitzer, but I knew him as Salnicka. I knew him as Salnitzer, and he Americanized it to Salnicka. Anyway, we got along. It was a beautiful Pesach, and Cholamayit, it was advertised all over Miami Beach. Rakefet is speaking. Big crowd came, could drive. So here I am getting up to give a talk. Picture this, maybe 400 people are sitting in front of me. That's not all the hotel guests. People from all over. And I'm giving a talk on Rav Moshe Feinstein. And some young idiot, must be about 20, 21, with a black hat, he runs over to me. As I'm getting up to give the talk, I've just been introduced. He says, are you for Rabbi Feinstein or against Rabbi Feinstein? Look, what kind of an idiot? What do you mean against? My Rebbe told me if someone doesn't wear a black hat, he's against Rav Moshe. Quote, end quote. Well, you try to figure that one out. Particularly after Reb Heschel's interview where he reveals what I would never reveal. As much as I knew, I never revealed it. And how many thousands of times I spoke about that topic. Kvod Hashem, why do I have to tell the young generation that every gadol who came to America, this was the Nohag, this was the Minhag, this is the way they lived in Zitta in the 30s and into the 20s, and if you want to understand it, go to Rakefet and then listen to a lecture. Fine, pick it up. Rav Heschel revealed, and I'm not saying a word. I don't want the world to hear it from me. I kept it quiet. I swallowed it. No big deal. That was the Nohag. Am I for Rav Moshe or against Rav Moshe? You idiot, I told him. Go back and smack your Rebbe's face if that's the indecorous information that he imparted to you. Hi, but nothing equals what I'm about to read to you. An advertisement or a letter to the editor, not an advertisement, a letter to the editor that appeared April 2008, Jewish Press, the Israeli edition. What do I mean by the Israeli edition? Jewish Press is still in business, am I correct? At one time, they used to give out an abridged version of the Jewish Press once a month in Jerusalem. I don't know if they gave it out anywhere else in Israel, maybe B'nai Brak, maybe Ashdod. And being intellectually curious, wanted to see what's doing in the Jewish Press. Now, mind you, we who studied with the Rav have a long history with the Jewish Press. When the Jewish Press started coming out and terrible mistakes in English, don't ask. The proofreading, it's not like today where you have a computer check. So they sent Rebbe an honorary subscription. So one time in class, it has to be, you can check, it has to be a few months after the press started coming out, 58, 59. And we asked Rebbe, what's your opinion of the Jewish press? He says, every Friday it comes to my mailbox, I tell my wife, bring me a trash can, and I push it with my hand from the mailbox into the trash can. That's the Rebbe's description of his initial reaction to the Jewish press, and I challenge anyone to say I'm making it up, because there were at least 30, 35 students who heard the Rebbe say this. But the Jewish Press went on and became a very valuable paper and insight, and it's the most widely read Anglo-Saxon Jewish newspaper. And here they publish a letter by a Rabbi Moshe Shaket or Shoket. I don't know how he pronounces it. You should know I had a student, Rabbi Moshe Shaket, right here in the Kollel. If I'm not mistaken, he's in Boca today. He's in Florida today. I hope this is not his letter. And here he deals with, if you recall, there was a terrible issue in New York in 2008, before Pesach. A public affair was planned with the so-called great singer Lippe Schmelzer. All right, I'm not into this world. Some of you are into the world. I'm still, if I want to hear a good niggin, I want to listen to Kalbach or to Mudgets. But all right, the world moves on. And they tell me this Lippe Schmelzer is fabulous. And all of you know that this concert, tens of thousands, if not more, of dollars were invested. A place was reserved. Tickets were sold. And the so-called Gedolim in America came out and acid the concert. And they had to cancel the concert, or Lippe Schmelzer would become persona non grata in the world from which he comes from, and in the world where essentially most of his performances were. And the story got out, was in the New York Times, and Rabbi Moshe Shaket writes a letter regarding the criticisms leveled by readers at the banning of the Lippe Schmelzer concert. Whatever happened to Naseh and Ishmael, Kibul v'Kiblu? Whatever happened to listening to Das Torah and Emunat Chachamim? Imagine equating Das Torah, which is an non-existent concept, with Emunat Chachamim, which I showed you is the heart of Yiddishkeit, the heart of Torah, the heart of our existence. What an amaretz this guy is. What about happening? Chazal say the common sense of people is the opposite of the wisdom of the chachamim. I don't remember a chazal saying that. All right, the masses at times need guidance, but I don't know. The same Rabbanim who paskin on whether the chickens we eat are treif are now paskining on whether our entertainment is treif. It is a complete Chilul Hashem that the story was leaked to the New York Times. The secular world does not have to see us degrade our Rabbanim by calling them, quote, dictators, end quote. They are, in other words, our Rabbanim are infallible. These gadolim, because from across the spectrum, it means everyone, you know, Chassidish, Litvish, kid born in Israel, raised in Israel, you got a spectrum, it's a fancy word. These gadolim across the spectrum are very responsible, caring, concerned, sincere tzaddikim, who worry 24/7 about our hashkafa, our ruchnius, and our gashmius. Then comes the next paragraph. The cancelled event was billed as the big event. The real big event for B'nai Yisrael was Matan Torah at Har Sinai, when we accepted our Zakenim, our leaders, our Das Torah. We have to listen to the Gedolim even though we have questions. If Chazal say it is night, we must trust them even if it really is day. Can you believe what you are hearing? That a Shmelzer concert is compared to Matan Torah? I don't know. Why? What is happening? And this is published? And this guy signs his name to it? And Matan Torah, we accepted our Skenim, our leaders, our Das Torah. Matan Torah, we accepted Moshe Rabbeinu, Lokom Kamosha Od, Torah Shabbatab, Torah Shabbat, and the whole concept of halachic living, the halachic process, all that makes us into Jews and kept us until today, that romance I spoke about yesterday at the end of Shir. What does that have to do with Das Torah? Invented in the 20th century to brainwash sub-level morons like the writer of this letter. It's beyond words. Beyond words. There's an aver in the Torah, lo sadur midivrei chachamim. Lo sadur midivrei chachamim. Look up what's written in the Torah. Which applies even when we disobey the chachamim in our days. Disobey the chachamim, alav the oraita. What are we talking about? If we're not going to obey our elders, why should our children respect us when they disagree? Sure, when we give our children an abnormal, unreal concept that goes against logic, goes against life, goes against emotion, many of our brightest children are going to leave the fold. Shem Yirachem, this is Das Torah. A concert? What's wrong with a concert? And I understand there was separate seating at the concert. And I understand all this was announced in advance. And tell me, what about a Fabrengen? What goes on in a Hasidic world? Isn't that a concert too? Where do you draw the line? And too many people coming? And what about the Degel HaTorah convention? It's at the, what do you call it, the Eliyahu Stadium in Tel Aviv, that famous night with the Rabbi Ovadia and Rav Shach and the Belzer Rebbe sitting together and tens of a thousand attending? I don't understand. Well, what's wrong with singing? What's wrong? Baruch Hashem. You heard the big event. Matan Torah, not Shmelka. Shmelka was being idealized, I'm told. Shmelka's a posek? Shmelka's bucking shots for posting? Shmelka's written svarim? Shmelka gives lectures that he turns the world upside down? Torah brings Maimon Hasinai into his shayur? What do you want out of the guy? You go to Shmelka, I don't know, is he saying, I'm from Fried, I've heard wonderful names, Mordechai ben David, Baruch Hashem. Gentlemen, it is frightening. And this is why I've told you more than once, it came up in court. Believe it or not, I told you the story. I think I told you here in class. When I testified for Naomi Reagan in the plagiarism trial, on that one issue, I testified on the concept of tshuva. And I accused both Naomi Reagan and the person suing her, Sarah Shapiro, of both robbing from the Rav. And I showed how the Rav had developed this idea, Nahalat Shiva. And then I said, and the Rav robbed it from the Rambam. Each one just perfects it a little bit more. So in the cross-examination, the lawyer for Sarah Shapiro happened to be Frum. Naomi Reagan's lawyer was not. And the lawyer, Yosef Chaim, over here. No, I can't. Yeah, the lawyer says, pardon me for quoting this. So if I told you the story, stop me. I don't want to waste time. But if I didn't tell you, it's worth hearing. So the lawyer says, Harav Rakefet, and Yechola Hagid, Bifnei Shafet, Bifnei Kulam, you are a real Talmud Chacham. You are a Gon. You are a fabulous teacher. And you wonder how I know all this? And I'm there. I'm wondering, what the? I never met this guy before in my life. He says, I listen to all your shayurim and all your Torah. And then he quotes, and Tucker, about 2 years ago, after class, and these new gizmos don't end at 90 minutes. So after class, someone asked me why I defend Naomi Reagan. You know, she's anti-Haredi in some of her writings. I don't want to go into it now. So I said, I will always defend Naomi Reagan because I know the way she was educated. I know how she went to Beis Yaakov and that she remained from. Is a miracle. You understand, that's a bright girl, an intellectual, an inquisitive girl. When you tell her she can't travel from Brooklyn into Manhattan because she may be ruined by the sight she'll see in Manhattan, it's a miracle she made for myself. My heart goes out to her. And then in the same breath, I said, and this is why I will defend my Talmud Rabbi Dr. Mark Shapiro. People will say to me, Mark Shapiro is anti-Haredia, but I know he went to Elizabeth High School. I know him intimately. And he used to tell me when he was in college, and he was my Talmud, what his Rebbeim from Lakewood told him in Elizabeth High School. I said, Mark Shapiro, with his intelligence, with his IQ, and you tell him stories like that, it's a miracle he remained from Baruch Hashem. I will not criticize him. So he picked that up, and he says, Atalo yitain, atamata, atalo yitain lefgoa, Benomi Reagan. So I corrected him. I said, Lo liv, atalo metagemet senachon. Lo, ani lo atain levakera. Avo lo mati lo lefgoa. Akshav, ani asbiyat atzmi, vatatzadik ledad. You have to know it too. You heard the recording. But it was unbelievable. It came up in court. But believe me, if you want to know why the Haredi world has a percentage of the brightest kids they lose, and these men and women turn out and spew out hatred for the Haredi world, you don't have to go further than this letter to the editor that appeared in Jewish press. And this is Das Torah, and it is frightening to me. But we have arrived. Let me go one step further. Let me go one step further. And this is what Reb Chaim said. When you give people the key that only they know and no one else knows anything, you can chas v'chalila have an attitude where Rabbanim make a mistake. And when that mistake becomes institutionalized, it's literally apikursis, plain and simple. And I'll give you what I consider an example. You're free to agree or disagree with me, because a little ant named Aaron Rakefet is now taking on a big elephant named Rav Ovadia Yosef. So you're free to disagree. Let me begin with a true story that happened exactly a half-minute walk from here. Some of you know that the most exciting years of my life, and what I consider the defining event of my life, was that the Ribbono Shel Olam privileged me to be here in 69 and to be invited to join the first faculty of the first school geared for Anglos who started coming to Israel after the Six-Day War. And of course I'm referring to BMT. And over the years, BMT grew. It began with 10 students, and in its high days, great days, it had on to 140, 150 students. It was even slightly bigger than Torah Tracker is. And already by the mid-70s, late-70s, we started attracting Sephardic students. Now, I have to tell you, the Sephardic mentality is different than the Ashkenazic mentality, and it was much harder for them to send their children across the ocean. Finally, the boys started coming here, not the girls. It was rare to get a girl from a Sephardic background. One of my earliest Sephardic female students in Machon Gold was a first cousin to Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld, on his mother's side, is a pure S.Y., a pure Syrian. So she was one of the first, and she married a BMT boy, an Ashkenazi boy, a Yeki, and Baruch Hashem, they have a wonderful marriage and wonderful children. A medical doctor, by the way, Daniel, in Flatbush. Then we started getting Spartan, and for whatever the reasons were, I was a very beloved teacher. It was a love affair between yours truly and his students. And one time, the Sephardic kids wanted to show their love for me. And I get into the elevator on the Beis Medrash floor, and I come out one floor above. And I shouldn't have taken an elevator, but I was, you know, tired. I did a lot of teaching in those days. And today I'm tired due to age. I do a lot less teaching, and I'm more tired than when I taught 32 hours a week in four different major Torah institutions. And I go up one floor, and I come out of the elevator, and there are these young, you know, 19, 20-year-olds dancing around me, singing Su Sharim Roshechem V'yavo Mize Melech HaKavot. And I got so upset, and I told them, never, ever sing that song for a bus of a dumb. We are mortals. And I knew what led them to sing it, but I wouldn't let on. A week later, they come to class, and they bring in Rav Ovadia's tshuva. And they say to me, Rebbe, how could you be so upset that we were singing Su Sharon Rashaykhan for you? Did it to honor you. Look at this tshuva. I said, gentlemen, the Rebbe is one step ahead of you. I know that tshuva by heart. Va'alda kabachinan. I quoted the Gemara. That's why I'm upset two times now. One that you sang it, and one that such a point of view is publicized. Gentlemen, I take you into the world of Rav Ovadia Yosef. Sefer Shelet Tshuva Chavadat, Chelik Shlishi, Tshuva Ayin Gimel, Siman Ayin Gimel. Now, a little bit background on what Chavadat is about. All of you are familiar with the Yabia Omer. Yabia Omer is, of course, Rav Ovadia's ultimate achievement. Every volume of Yabia Omer will be studied as long as Jews walk the face of the earth. What you're not familiar with is this sefer is probably the first of its kind, Chavadat. Asher shudru b'radio b'chol erev Shabbat b'mizgeret pinat ha-halacha b'tosafot meruba. Chibati v'arichtiv b'chesed Hashem alai Ovadia Yosef Rishon Letzion Harav Rashi Yisrael. What you're not familiar with is that Rav Ovadia had his own radio program every Friday afternoon on the main radio station in Israel, Reshet Bet. Rav Ovadia answered questions halacha l'maaseh. His son has that program now, the son who's the Rav of Chalon. It's not the more famous of the sons. I think it's Rav Avraham Yosef. Am I right, Rav Avraham? I know him from the army. He was the Rav HaRashi of the Air Force. I know him from the army. And they beat Talmud Chacham too. And I believe it's on Radio Kol Chai. That's already not on Reshet Bet today. What they moved is the more learning and the Shelet and Shuvit. They moved to Kol Chai, which also is an official government radio station. So Rav
Avraham,
every morning it's on. He answers every morning, not just Friday.
No, 8:45. He gives you a
color kavod. I know that my neighbor Sam Dershowitz spends the whole day whenever he's home. He's listening to Radio Kol Chai, but he's listening half the time to get aggravated. He says to me, "No, you got to hear what they said and this what said." And Malka listens for the music, but she can't take the advertisements. They have these advertisements. People are dying. People are in trouble. People are crippled. People are dead. God, there's enough tsaras in the world. Why do we have to hear it on the radio? All these appeals. But all right, what can we do? What can we do?
We're all going to America.
All going to America for operations. And you know, sadly, I have to tell you, living here 43 years and what I've seen and been through, any case I know where they went all over the world, all that wound up at the end was exactly what they told them here. I can give example after example. It was hopeless. All these cases, they all died. But the diagnosis and the treatment was exactly what they told them, had a dasar and karim. But never do you want to do anything to keep alive a person, as I don't have to tell you. So what can we say? God should be rofe cholam. No human being who's decent should ever be sick, and no Jew should ever be sick, period. I told you, I'm totally in favor that certain elements of the non-Jewish world, all of them should be homosexuals. No, it's against halacha. La shevet yatzra. All right? It's pikuach nefesh. If certain elements would be homosexuals, 50 years from now, no one would be killing Jews. There'd be no anti-Semitism in the world. So I want to say, those of the human beings that are good people, no one should be sick. Sickness is terrible. Okay, I'm counting on Daniel and his friends and my grandson as well. Daniel, I give my grandson, have a grandson in medical school, you know that. I give him the same hell I'm giving you. Don't worry about it. Shimon and Gibel. Yosef Chaim, do me a favor. Sit over here where I can see your face. I gotta see his reaction. Shimon and Gibel. No Hagim. Kishaba Adam Gadol B'Torah L'Bikur B'Mosad Torani. Olam HaKam Mesuyam. Mekablim Et Panal B'Shira V'Zimra. Adam Gadol comes in. Just, I still remember they're dancing in front of me as I get out of the elevator. And what did they sing? Pasuk, Se'u Sharim Roshechem, V'Hinaschu Pitkei Olam, V'Yavol Melech HaKavod, Tehillim Chavtalid, Pasuk Zayin. Okay. We say it on the Shir Shel Yom. Are you allowed to sing it? They asked Rav Avadja. Hare pasig zene mala kodesh baruchu. V'achich omrim oto klape basa v'tam. Gentlemen, following Rav Schechter and all that he said in the interview and all that he's saying in America, got to listen to the tape of his last year. It's only 14 minutes, so it's not a big deal. I would have answered. That's your question? Smack the kid's face? Chas v'chalila. You should even have a havi amina to sing such a song for a bus of a dumb. That's intuition. That's the Chatam Sofer. That's the Rav. That's Rav Schechter. That's his story. You know what I'm talking about? That he mentions the name. In the article, he doesn't mention the name. I don't think. I didn't pick up the name, but I pick it up from what he talks about in New York, that when the Rav is no longer functioning, and the OU had a Shiler in Kashrut, and many Rabbi Manuel Hoser should have Refuah Shleima, was the head of the Kashrut committee. He comes to Rav Schechter and says, Rav Heschel, we have this problem. We can't ask the Rebbe. We're asking you. And Rav Heschel answers, I got to look it up. And Manny Holzer says to him, no, the Rebbe would always tell us right away what his impression is. And only afterwards he would look it up to justify his gut reaction. And Rav Heschel says, no, I got to look it up. And Rav Heschel gives a whole explanation that the greatest Gedolim, he quotes the Rebbe, Hesped for the Drisker Rebbe. I don't believe he quotes him entirely correctly with the Arisim and Asuin. I was there, I heard it, I know what the Rebbe said, but it's the same thought, but I think the Rebbe said it a little differently, but it doesn't matter. Someone who's married to the Torah, not just engaged, automatically is able to decipher the correct answer, and he quotes the Chatam Sofer, and I quoted this Chatam Sofer in class, actually. I'm almost positive I quoted in class, where the Chatam Sofer told his son, even if I don't have all the proofs, the halacha is like me. This is, in this generation, I'm the posek. So I want to tell you, if this question came to me, on the spot, I would say, absolutely not. You can't sing it for a bas v'dam. It's like one of the Mishnah Halacha. The Mishnah Halacha, Rav Menashe Cotton gets a question, are you allowed to cheat in an exam in college? You're familiar with that? And he goes into a whole pilpul if it affects others, doesn't affect others. I get a question like that, I would have smacked the kid's face, sent them flying. What kind of question is that? What, are you a cheater? Are you allowed to cheat in college? That's a forgotten type. Rotten. You become a cheater. What kind of halakhic question is that? No, Rav Avadya doesn't smack the kid's face. Rav Avadya goes into all the sources that we give cover to a Talmud Chacham. He represents the Shrina. Yerushalmi, I don't give the sources are all him the Tshuva. So just let me quote. Kol ha-makapel p'nei rabo k'makapel b'nei shchina. Okay? That means you give your Rebbe Shalom Aleichem, it's like greeting the shchina. The Gemara in Kedushin, Rabbi Yosef Kashomea called Sadei Imo when he heard his mother coming into the room. And Rabbi Yosef was blind. He would stand up and say, I'm standing up because the shchina is entering the room. And all of you know that the Gemara in Kedushin, the Rav gave a tremendous drasha on this. The Gemara makes an analogy between Kibud Aviyim and Kibud Shamayim. Wow. And if that's the case, the Gemara in Kedushin continues. Bizman Shadam Chabedet Avivi Imo Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ale ani aleihem kilu darti beinehem v'kibduni. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you give honor to your mother and father, it's like I'm living among you and you are honoring me. And Rav Avadya takes this all literally. And if this is the case, Rav Avadya says, it's permitted to say the psukim, su sharim sheikha mihu zemelech hakavod, because people will understand that when you honor a Talmid Chacham, you are honoring the Shechina. Chokim kavod the Shechina hanichneset imo ukemo shamru bebereshit rab amar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. B'chol makom shechatzidikim holchim, hashchina holechet imahem. Wow. Well, do you realize the danger here? Sure, these are Maimari Chazal. I recreated that very talk. Many, again, it's another talk that I'd like to read. There are certain talks I recreated of the Rav that are essential to understanding Yiddishkeit and understanding the Rav. I did that very talk in the Kollel. But it doesn't mean your mother and father are God. It means by expressing respect to your parents, we acknowledge the third partner in creation, the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you go today to psychologists, generally speaking, I don't want to say all, psychologists, psychiatrists, Freud, the language of parents, they made every mistake in the world. How many lectures have I given? I never knew a parent who purposely did something to harm their children. I never met a parent like that. Well, we make mistakes. Of course we make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Rabbis make mistakes, and doctors make mistakes, and professors make mistakes. That's part of being a human being. We learn from our mistakes. But today you hear the way psychologists speak. You hear the way the New York Times speaks. There's no God, there's no parent, there's no yesterday, and no one gives a hoot about tomorrow. Don't have to go further. New York Times, homosexuality, the States, New York. How can any Jew live in New York yet? It's beyond my comprehension. I was there the first Sunday when they could register and get married. They were dancing in the streets of New York that the world will soon be destroyed. Look what brought about. Look at the Gemara. Take a look at the Midrash with the flood and homosexuality. Hashem Yirachem. That's the Gemara. Of course, when we respect the Talmud Chacham, and this is what the Rav, I think the most important part that's been quoted and re-quoted from the Rav, the World Dove, and in the documentary where the Rav describes his classroom. Believe me, that's what it's all about. If a Rebbe teaches Torah and you don't feel his Rebbeim is sitting there and his Rebbe's Rebbeim is sitting there, he's not a good Rebbe. I once asked David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo, you learned, I said to David, you learned so many years with Rabbanan. What do you get out of Rav Gusman that's so special? He used to go to Rav Gusman Shayurim in Netzach, Ramelis, in Rehov Ramban. And David, I'm quoting David Applebaum, and David said to me, Rabbanan, when Rav Gusman gives his shir, you see Reb Chaim Moiser on one side and Reb Shimon Shkup on the other side. The minute he said that to me, I said, now I understand the Rebbe. All right, that's the Gemara. But if you take this seriously, no? Look what happened with Lubavitch. Can anyone tell me the Messianists? And then you have beyond the Messianists? Have you seen a Lubavitch shul where the Rebbe's picture is up front next to the Aron Kodesh? God have mercy. What happened to the chief rabbi of Tzfat, no longer alive, Rav Levi Yitzchak Bistitsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha? Who killed him? Where are you living? You're living in a bubble, or you know what goes on here? It's not ancient history. A messianist ran him over. He never recovered. Died a young man. His parents are still alive. They were mad at him. He's a Chabadnik who doesn't believe the Rebbe is God. Guy is sitting in jail and preaching in jail that the Rebbe is God. No, you know this or not? You're familiar with David Berger's writings? Thank you, Matan.
His brother was the rabbi in my neighborhood.
Bistitsky. You don't even start to know who that family is. I can tell you, if I have time, I'll tell you a story about his mother. If I didn't tell it, you stop me. If I told it, you. Anyway. Oh, then he goes on to quote Reb Chaim Palagi. Now, deep into the, when I say Reb Chaim Palagi, that's like saying to an Ashkenazi, the Chatam Sofer. Understand? Quotes the Kafa Chaim that he speaks about his grandfather and calls his grandfather, the author of the Chikrei Lev, Avinu Malkeinu, and his own son Reb Avraham Palachi called Reb Chaim Avinu Malkeinu, and Reb Chaim Palachi got mad at his son for calling him Avinu Malkeinu.
But he called his grandfather Avinu Malkeinu. And Rav Avadya explains, because Rav Chaim Palachi felt that only the Gadol Hadar you're allowed to call Avinu Malkeinu, and he didn't feel he was the Gadol Hadar like his grandfather. Gentlemen, that's circular reasoning. If you're setting the example and calling your grandfather Avinu Malkeinu, where are we going here? Where are we headed here? And he goes further in Rav Avadya's beautiful rabbinic Sfadik Hebrew, Gam Halom Raiti. I also saw the Sefer Krei Hadat, and Yeridea gives the source, in the name of the Chidah. And the Chidah raises the issue that Rav Baruch Angel wrote about a certain Mechaber, Rabbeinu Chagadol, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. Now Rav Avadya tries to justify it, quoting the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Chet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara in Megillah, Minayin Shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYakov El Shenema VaYikra Lo El Elokei Yisrael. Bereshit Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chaf. Not the Mizbeach is called El, but Yaakov Avinu. It's frightening. You know, where do you draw the line? Avinu Malkeinu? Rabbeinu HaGadol V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No? Yechi Adonai Moreinu Rabbeinu Melech HaMashiach Li'olam V'ed. It's frightening. Absolutely frightening. One second, just let me finish. And then Rav Avadya quotes an open Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos. Shekasher Amar Shlomo Su Sharim Roshechem Vihisna Vihinasku Pitchei Olam Vayavol Melech HaKavod. Bikshu Sharei HaHechel LeBalol. The Sharei HaHechel wanted to swallow him up. And the Gemara says, because they thought he was talking about himself. But later when he says, Mi Huzeh Melech HaKavod, Hashem Izuz V'Gibor, Hashem Gibor Milchamah, then the Hakpada was gone. Because they knew he was talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gentlemen, Rav Avadya goes on.
Where is this Gemara
in Shabbos? Gemara in Shabbos is Daf, I believe it's Daf Lamed Aleph, but let me just check. Ayin Shem Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. It's Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. I'm going to come back to that Gemara next time we meet. But Rav Avadya goes on and he ends off the tshuva, v'lachein hanach lachem li Yisrael, im einam neviyim, b'nei neviyim heim, v'yesh lachem al ma sheyismachu. Gentlemen, I totally, completely disagree with this tshuva, l'halacha. Chas v'chalila, we should inculcate youngsters that you should even have a havi amina to say about a bus of a dumb, Mize Melech HaKavod, Chas V'Chalila. You want to honor someone? Oz Alur LaTzadik, Uli Yishri Leiv Simcha. What do they sing for Rav Shach? He was very makbid not to sing Su Sharim Roshechem. Shanim al Shanim Yosifu. You've heard, you know what I'm talking about? It's a different niggun altogether. Yes? We have what to sing. But not Chas V'Chalila to take a bus of a dumb and turn him into a divine being. We have suffered enough because of what happened in the history of humanity. And I don't have to quote David Berger, black and white. Let me reiterate, and let me end off with a vart on Pesach like yesterday. Das Teir, it's at times can reach extremes that are frightening. The three little stories I told you, the two incidents that happened to me, and that quote from Jewish Observer need no commentary. Even a Havi Amina, could you imagine how perverted a mind that you can compare a concept by Shmelka to Matan Torah at Har Sinai? It is frightening. Frightening. Das Torah, Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael, from every spectrum. The Rav, Rav Amital, Amira Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Amsalam, everyone agrees that before World War I, no one even heard the word Das Torah. It comes into the fore 1919. Even then, it's minimized. In America today, you hear the word Das Torah 100 times over, 1,000 times over, every Aguda convention. Das Torah and Das Torah and Das Torah, and it is a concept that is not part of our tradition. Lahefech, Reb Chaim Brisker was right. And when we can sing for human beings, Su Sharim Rasheichem, and use the words Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have gone far off the path of Torah Hashem. Emunat Chachamim? Absolutely. That's why we're sitting here. Das Torah? Constantly subject to evaluation, to thought, to choice, to human initiative of hearts that are overwhelmed with love of Torah, understanding of Torah, and knowledge of Torah. We have a lot more to go and a lot more to say. Right on this tshuva and beyond. As I said yesterday, I wanted to give you a vort that you can use in Kiriv Rechokim for Pesach. Many of you are going into this concept of Kiriv Rechokim. Many of you don't have the guts to go into the rabbinate. He actually brought, if anyone wants, a copy of my rabbinate. This is a journal from the annual consecration banquet of Beth Ephraim, Maplewood Jewish Center, in honor of Rabbi Dr. Aaron Rothkopf, 1968, right after the Six-Day War. And it gives you a little bit of an education as to what life was like at that time. Save it afterwards. So let me say a vort now that I heard from the Rav. I'm reserving one for Yosef Chaim Kassel. No two ways about it. Let me say a vort that I heard from the Rav that you can also use. It's so powerful and so basic and ties us together with what I said about Naomi Reagan and Mark Shapiro and education. The Rav raised a very simple question. The Haggadah, one of the high points of the Haggadah, the fear kashas, the four questions. You could have the whole Haggadah without having four questions. Begin the Haggadah. Abadim ha'inu l'fayim. What are you getting involved with questions? And not only getting involved, but if you're familiar with the Vilna Gaon's tradition, the Vilna Gaon himself, not just the kids asked first, and then the Vilna Gaon himself asked the four questions. Why? And the Rebbe said something magnificent, because Yiddishkeit is not dogma. It begins with questions. A person can only come to belief when he questions, when he seeks. We want the youth, the Seder, which is the biggest educational instrument we have, we want the youth to question. Why? To seek. To search. Nothing is to be taken for granted. When a Jew wants to find God, he has to be able to ask. He has to be able to question. We cannot turn the questions away and say, why do you question blind faith? More than that, you look at Shas. Look at the first Mishnah in Shas. Dealing with Zman, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvit. So there's a whole machloket. Right or wrong, third of the night, all night, half the night, and right in the first Mishnah, they tell a story, Masa Shabanu Banav, so Rabban Gamliel, Mi Beit HaMishnah, and they asked their father, can we still say Kriyat Shema? You could have had the whole Mishnah without the story, without the question, and just state an opinion that you can only say to Chatzot, Kedei Lachachik, Adom Min an Aveira. And the Rav said, no, Dafka, that question was there so that we should educate the kid. You're beginning Shas, you're beginning to learn, you're opening up Torah Shabbat Peh, you're coming into the world of Amunat HaChomim. And one of the most basic messages we want you to have is, they turn to their father and ask the question. And that's a fabulous thought. And I refer you to Washington, I tell two stories there that you should never forget as machanchim. I had this young man, I don't know, I would like to mention his name, but his wife was makpid that he once was in Sofrim. Came from a fine home, brilliant kid. Holocaust, second generation. Parents, Zichrono Livracha, you have no idea the price those people paid. They made it out. They had one son they were able to have. Brilliant kid. Double doctorate, Harvard and Columbia. And my Talmud in the 60s, he remained so close. He's the only person I ever, outside of my own daughters, walked into chuppah, turned around, and was Masada Kedusha. He had no father already, and I had to take the role of the father. What a fine young man. At his wedding, I asked him, what's the secret that we remain so close? The wedding was in the 80s, perhaps early 90s, got married late. No, it has to be in the 90s already. And he said to me, Rebbe, let me tell you the truth. I went to Hirsch. I was a bright kid. Breuers. Washington Heights. I used to ask questions. The Rebbe would say to me, Jacques, shut your mouth. Don't ask questions until you know all the Torah. He said, by the time I reached Talmudical Academy, whenever my parents weren't looking, I was eating treif pizza. I didn't put on tefillin if my father didn't know. He said, I came into your class and I had a Rebbe that not only answered questions, encouraged questions. That same story was to repeat when I came in Aliyah. I worked with this young lady. It was all English speaking. It was the Encyclopedia Judaica, Rehov HaMe'iri 2. Right in Kiryat Moshe. That's where I began work, July 12th, 1969. Machon Meir is located in that building today. It has another building as well. And this lady worked there from B'nai Brak, Swiss girl, graduate of Beis Yaakov. Not from? Beis Yaakov High School, B'nai Brak. So I was a chutzpan. I mean, I had no right to do this. I said, Ruthie, forgive me, but I'm curious. You came from home in Switzerland. You came to B'nai Brak. You went to Beis Yaakov. How can it be you're not observant? She said, Dr. Rothkopf, I'll tell you the truth. I was a bright girl. I asked questions. One day the teacher said to me, Rudy, Kishe Deidat, Kol HaTorah Kulati Shalei She'elot, Adas, Sit Me Atap, Shut Your Mouth. At that moment I knew I would no longer be religious. I don't know what happened to her. She married the son of a Chaver Knesset of Mapai. Her father was a Chaver Knesset. I remember it like yesterday. Don't know what happened to her. It's 42 odd years later. I don't know. Halavai, that they both came back, their children came back. But use that approach. And don't forget the words I taught you yesterday. Inspire them with the romance of the Jewish people. Just think what we have gone through. Just think what we're going through. And just think of our survival and what we've built here against all odds. And that little Ani Rothkopf from Washington Avenue should be privileged this past Friday night to be at the Kotel and see young Jewish boys, not just soldiers, not just infantry, but also paratroopers, davening so beautifully and singing Aliyat HaKotel, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, Ashreinu Shezachinu Lekach. The story with Rabbi Bistritsky, did I ever tell you? You have a minute? Okay? Let me tell the story. My grandson is here. Let me tell him about his mother. His mother made history. She was the first woman since Moshe Rabbeinu came down Mount Sinai with the Shnei Luchot HaBrit to pass all the exams in Eben Ha'ez and Kosher Mishpat and get Hasmacha from the chief rabbinate to be the first female rabbinic lawyer. And she, Dayanim used to hug and kiss me because they said they were so worried, feminist. And his mother would get up in court and say, I'm not a feminist. We are here to help people within the Misgeret HaHilchatit. And Baruch Hashem, I don't have to tell you today, no one should get divorced, but if you have to get divorced, get a female rabbinic lawyer. They're infinitely better than the males because there are reasons why. They are infinitely better. It's the best you can do. So when she became a rabbinic lawyer, Na'amat, the organization of Histadrut that deals with women, said to my daughter, look, we'd like you to take on a case pro bono. There's a woman in Svat who is an aguna for 8 years, a chabatnikit. And we don't know where her husband is. He's in Israel, we don't know where he is. Told my daughter, call the chief rabbi of Svat, Rabbi Bistritsky, tell him you're my daughter and ask him to help you. She calls the chief rabbi, oh, Rabbi Rothkopf's daughter, yeah. Calls her back 3 days later. He says to her, Ta'ina, the man is underground in a Chabad Kolel in Ashdod. I've contacted him. He's waiting to hear from you. She contacts the, he says, he wants $15,000 to share in the apartment. He'll give a get. Where do you, this lady is penniless. Where do you get $15,000? So it's a Chabad case. My daughter goes to Yesla Gutnik's Gabait Staka in Yerushalayim. He contacts Yesla, and Tisha B'Av of that year, I meet him in the Gutnik Library, right as you go down Rehov Strauss to Mei Sharim, the Chabad Library, a fabulous library of all the Chabad Svarim. And he gives me a check for $15,000, and my daughter gets the get. Now Matt makes a dinner in her honor. My daughter already gets a little publicity. Now, there are two endings to this. One, Tainis says to me, Abba, why was Rabbi Bistritsky, the minute I mentioned your name, he didn't know what to do for me. I said, now I'll let you in on the secret. No, can anyone tell me the secret? Can anyone give me the title of the first book I was privileged to publish? Bernard Revel, Builder of American Jewish Orthodoxy. What remains of Bernard Revel? Only my book. His children never married, no grandchildren, no great-grandchildren, nothing whatsoever, no svarim. He never had time. Read Washington, where I describe Bernard Revel crying when Rav Palev gives him the sefer he wrote, and Bernard Revel says, I never had time to put my Chidushei Torah together. All that remains is the volume that Rakefet dropped. No, Bistritsky's father is married to Rabbi Revel's niece. He is a great nephew of Rabbi Revel. The Hakorei HaTov I knew right away how much the family was thankful. Little did I know at the time that Rabbi Rebbe was my own cousin. That I only discovered a year and a half ago. The other part of the story comes together in Melbourne, Australia. The year 2000, I was privileged to be the guest of the Mizrahi in Australia, Melbourne and Sydney. Evidently, I gave lectures. I don't want to go into detail, but my lectures were greatly appreciated in Melbourne. It's near the Ein B'Yisrael, and they decided the final night they were hosting a catered dinner in my honor to say goodbye. And all the panay of the community was there, including Yesala Gutnick. I had brought along a set of the Rakafat Aaron that had just been published. And I told Taina I would give it to Yesala, but I have to see, I want to give him, so I asked his permission to tell the story. And he said, yeah, I said, so I told the story and I said, you know, Yesala didn't even know this couple. And look what he did for that lady. That is the highest form of staka, mamish, chesed, shel, emet. And I said, and I want to repay him now, complete the circuit, and I gave him a set of the Rakafat Aaron, and he was really very, very moving and very beautiful. Gentlemen, go forth and only do good in your life and only be great people. Don't live like an animal. An animal is one, drink and eat and sex, and that's it. That's an animal. Many humans, the New York Times functions on an animal level. There's no spirituality. There's no greatness. There's no yesterday. And of course, who cares about tomorrow? A Jew, if I can quote the Rav, our community is above time. Al Zmani, our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as the Rav used to say, mean more to us than some of the people we see every day. Melech HaMashiach, Aliyah HaNavi, mean more to us than some of the contacts we see in real life. That's a Jew. Take that message. That's the Seder. The Seder is a moment in time. On one hand, we're leaving Egypt, and later that night, we're back in Eretz Yisrael, Yomot HaMashiach. Oh, what I have seen in my life, how proud we are. Don't let me down. You're going back. You're taking positions. The great ones among you will come in Aliyah. Those who get caught in America, at least do great things, influence, fall in love, bring that love, exude that love. Love, as the Rav used to say, it has to be contagious. That's how we influence. Gentlemen, up for grabs. Nishma. Parshat HaShavua, out of Toronto, absolutely Meach was fascinating. Ben Shichech, this is for Rabbi Yitzchak. Anyone who wants a Maplewood Jewish Center. Finally, a little achievement that I just pulled off. This picture is given to me about 5 years ago. Who is the bearded gentleman? And I established it beyond doubt this past week. This man is your colleague. It's Rabbi Mordechai Stern, Musmach of the Yeshiva, 1924. Rabbi of Richmond Hills in Queens. Anyone here from Queens? Is Richmond Hills still have an Orthodox shul?
It's not.
Here he is visiting in Israel, 1935. You know who that is? Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasman, the Mashgiach of Chevron Yeshiva, Talmud of the Altar of Slabatka, and a Talmud of the Altar of Nevadik. I have established who these people are, particularly the bearded gentleman. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Kaka Sheva Sameach, Das Vedanya. We're not finished yet. I'm not finished yet.